Praise God. Romans chapter 5, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, everybody said enemies, not just opposed, but we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. I just want to talk about God's love tonight. Amen. And if you don't live for God because of Calvary, you're probably not going to live for God. And when you see what the Lord has done for us and the extent and the length that he would go for us so that we could just be here tonight on a Wednesday night, amen, it's really an awesome thing. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. I ask for your help and your strength. Lay your hand upon our ears tonight. Give us ears to hear the word. I pray that this message will touch hearts and stir us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. Now we know here in Romans, and we just read it, Paul was writing to the Romans and expressed to them the love of God. And of course, it's extended on down to us. And he spoke of the love of God in human terms so that we could get a hold of it a little bit and grasp it a little bit and to understand a little bit more how much God really loves us. Amen. Do you believe God loves you tonight?
Amen.
If there's any doubt, I hope that by the time we get through with the word tonight, that you'll have a little better appreciation for this wonderful truth. Amen. That God loves us. Verse 7, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And so when we consider this here tonight, we can think about different people. I remember when Ronald Reagan was president, and we saw the picture of the assassination attempt. Some of you might remember that. And I remember when I heard that news and saw the headline and all of that, and I've mentioned this before, but there were some mighty men around him. There were some people that were committed to protecting the President of the United States. And when Mr. Hinckley pulled out his .22 rifle and began to plug away, you could hear the shots. Everybody got into it was confusion, and some grabbed him, and some stood between the president and himself and took a bullet for the president. Thankfully, they didn't die, and everything was all right that way. The president did take a bullet in his side, and they had to do emergency surgery to take care of that. Does anybody remember that? I remember that, and it impressed me that there was some men that it just wasn't their job. They were committed to doing what they were doing, praise God. And when we understand that the Lord is not just God sitting up in heaven on a throne somewhere and disconnected from people and does not understand how we feel, just made us and threw us down here on this earth, then living for God, if you attempt to live for God, it's only going to be out of duty. But we can't really be successful and understand the power of God like we need to until we understand how far he went to help us and to save us. Amen. With all the things that are going on in our world today, I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want the Lord to come. How about you? I want the Lord to come. And that's what it's all about. At least that's what part of it is about. The main focus is to spend eternity with him in heaven. Praise God. And that means that we love him down here, John said, because he first loved us. And I'm thankful tonight for the love of God. And Scripture does give us an example, I could look at quite a few verses, 2 Samuel chapter 23, and starting with verse 8, and we've talked about this before, but I just wanted to go over it again. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. And it goes down and it begins to list all the things that these men did. We could read from that verse, starting with verse 14, and David was then in a hold. That means he was in a place where they were camped out. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three men, the three mighty men. Verse 8 gives us the names of these three mighty men. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, so he was the chief of staff, if you please. And the same was Adino the Aznite. He lift up his spear against 800 and whom he slew at one time. And so the three mighty men, they heard the cry. Or not necessarily a cry, it was just a wish. It was just the feeling from his heart. And he said, wished I had a drink of water out of the well at Bethlehem. And they got around, and you know the story. They broke through the garrison of the Philistines. I don't know how they did that. There were probably hundreds of Philistines. And they broke through. And two of them were obviously fighting while the third one got the bucket down in the well and brought the water up, and they had some sort of container, and they got it, fought their way back out, risked their lives just so that he could have a drink of water. And when I think about that story, I think about peradventure, the scripture says, a good man would even dare to die, and scarcely, everybody said scarcely. It's uncommon. It's not a common thing. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. It doesn't happen very often, and certainly doesn't happen very often when someone says, I would like to have a drink of water. Amen. But I read in Genesis where there were a couple of boys, a couple of young men that were sons of Adam and Eve, and they brought their sacrifice to God. God accepted one and rejected the other. And when it was all said and done, Cain made the statement, I believe, in Genesis. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And God heard those words and repeated them to Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And so there was something, something in those words that they spoke, or that he spoke rather, that touched the heart of God. My punishment is greater than I can bear. I can almost feel the cry. I can almost sense what David was saying when he said, "Oh, wished I had a drink out of the well." He didn't say it casually. I think he said it with passion. I think he said it with a feeling and a longing in his voice. "Oh, that I could have a drink out of that well. It's been so long, and I love the water of that well." And they got a hold of the feeling that those men, that David had, and they went and got it for him. I've got a feeling tonight that when the Lord heard Cain say, "My punishment is greater than I can bear," I can almost see the tears that are flowing down his face. I can almost see the desperate situation in his heart where he realizes that he's done wrong. It reminds me of Judas in the New Testament. He sought for repentance, but he could not find it. And I don't believe that the Lord wants to send anybody to hell. I don't believe tonight that God is a big, bad, mean God. In fact, God's not going to send anybody to hell. Amen. We're going to send ourselves to hell if that's where we end up. And the Bible says that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And so I think this is a great example here. If I could use this as a parallel and use David as a sinner, somebody that doesn't know God, somebody that doesn't know anything about church, doesn't know anything about the Word of God, doesn't know anything about the person of God. Amen. And when David said, "Oh, I'd love to have a drink out of that well," it reminds me of the cry of the sinner's heart. Praise God. I'm not going to preach a deep message here tonight, but this is very, very deep when it comes to people that don't know God. And I really have felt for some time, and I've been attempting to do that with my limited strength, that I want to preach to people that don't know God. Amen. I want to deliver the message that God gave me a long time ago because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Amen. Well, praise God. We can get into a lot of other things in the scripture, but what we need to do is understand there's a lot of voices in our world today that are saying, "Oh, I wished I had more in life." What's life really all about? What's the purpose of all of this? Amen. And there is a cry that comes from that. And I could see the mighty men and those that sat around him. When they heard that cry, I would equate them with the Lord, that the Lord hears our cry. And if you're not in need of salvation tonight here at church, I'll tell you what, there's going to come a time when your belief in the love of God is going to be tested. Amen. Things are going to come along. Situations are going to present themselves. And you're going to be tested. "Oh, I'll never do that." Well, Peter said he would never do that too. And he denied the Lord three times. I'll tell you what, folks, we can't underestimate the power of our flesh, amen, and the power of sin, because it will always lead you in places that are not good. My pastor always said that sin is never fulfilling, and it's always progressive. It always gets worse and worse. Somebody said amen. And I look at these three mighty men and I say, they had ears to hear what this man was longing for. And they revered him greatly. In one place they said, "Don't go to battle this time, David, for you are worth 10,000 of us." And that's exactly how they felt. And when we understand how God feels about you and I, we will understand Scripture says that we are the apple of His eye. Amen. He desires that every person will spend eternity with Him in heaven. Praise God. But when it comes down to it, we have to make that choice that we want to go to heaven. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, let come what may, I'm going to serve God. And I hope that you feel that way tonight. I know that you do feel that way. And so they broke through. They risked their life. And what is so awesome about the gospel is the death. Everybody said the death. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what is awesome about this is these three men, they risked their lives, but they didn't give their lives. And the Lord came and robed Himself in flesh to save us from our sins. Praise God. And when He did that, He didn't just risk His life. He gave His life. There's a big difference in there. And these men risked their lives, but the Lord gave His life. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, in that He laid down His life for us. And it goes on and says that we should lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. But He laid down His life. The Lord God came and robed Himself in flesh and said, I'm going to save mankind and I'm going to give my life, the life that was in Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. And it's an awesome thing. I've been listening to the book of John lately, and I don't know how many times I've listened to the whole book. It's not really that long. I think it's 22 chapters or 21 chapters long. It would do us good because there we see love. Amen. There's where we see the one that was beloved, John, the one who leaned on his breast, the one who was close to him. And the Bible says that he called them friends. Amen. Now, I cannot really comprehend that. If Jesus came into here tonight and appeared to all of us and came in the midst of us like He did in the book of John, I wonder how many of us would go up and throw our arms around Him and say, it's so good to see you. Yes. Praise God. There are many that would say, who is that? I don't know anything about him. But there are those that would say, this is the greatest opportunity of my life. And throw your arms around him. I can just see John leaning on Jesus Christ. And maybe the feeling that was going through the heart of God as the man, the person there, John, that he had created and planned a plan from the beginning of the world, took his own initiative, took his own desire and his own choice, and said, I choose to love you. And he understood who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. And so there was a tremendous respect, but there was more than just respect. There was love. Amen. And not only did John love the Lord, but the Lord loved John. Praise God. And I would love to pursue that. My desire is to pursue the love of God, just like those men loved David and were willing to lay down their life for him. Somebody said, praise God. Praise God. And so when we look at this story here tonight and we look at our text scripture, you know, we look around us and we ask the question, where do we find commitment in our world today? Amen. Not just commitment where you have a contract that you have to fulfill or like a job where you have to get up and go to work. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about a commitment that is based on love. Amen. A commitment that is based on love when things come along that try to divide that relationship, love will say, I cannot hurt that person. Amen. And if we do see this in our generation today, amen, where there is a tremendous lack of commitment because in many, many places, people don't really understand how to love. Amen. We're seeing many, many households where it's just mom and dad somewhere off doing something else. We see and we read about so very, very many that have been abused when they were children. Saw someone just the other day, and she was molested by her stepdad. And so many, many situations that are in our world, if we're not careful, the things that come against us can make us say, I'm not going to love. Praise God. Now, maybe you've been tempted to say that, I'm just not going to love. I think that's probably normal for all of us. Amen. I know there have been times that I have said that, I'm just not going to love anymore. But I come to realize that the only place where we can find quality relationship is relationship that's based upon love. Amen. And love will produce commitment where those men were committed and they said, we love our master, we love our leader, and we're going to go get him what he wants. Praise God. And there's not a lot about it written in books in our day, but what would make these men do such a thing? And I know that they had come to a place where they knew that David would die for them. Praise God. They knew that their leader was committed. Wasn't it Jesus that said, the hireling flees when the thief comes, or when the wild beast comes, it is the hireling that flees, but it is the good shepherd that stays and fights for the sheep. Praise God. These men understood that they had a shepherd leader. Amen. He was a shepherd at heart. He was a singer at heart. And they understood that it was not a job with David, but it was a calling. Amen. And if you get the time and you'd like to read it, go back up Samuel 23 and go to the very first verse and read down to where the mighty men were listed and all that. But David wrote a psalm in the very first song, first part of that chapter. David is talking about the day that he was anointed, the one that the anointing fell upon, and that God picked for this specific work. Praise God. I hope we're not here tonight just because we are supposed to be here, but we are here tonight because we have fallen in love with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. We have fallen in love with Him, and there is nothing that could separate us or will separate us from the love of God. Amen. And we don't really see that kind of love in our generation. But there is one place, and I believe one place alone, where it can be found, and that is the example of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Amen. One of the things that John said in the book of John is that if all the books, all the things that Jesus did was written in a book, the world would not contain all the books that were written. How many's read that? That's what he said. If the world would, the world could not contain it. That's a lot of books. And I begin to think about that, and I begin to ponder How many people in written history have ever healed one person? How many people in human history, recorded history, has had a miracle ministry of 2 or 5 or 10 or 20 and come up short in all of my reading and everything? I don't find anybody that even comes close to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord could have just come down here and made demands on us and told us what we were going to do, or he was going to cast us into the lake of fire and we would serve him because of fear. But praise God, it's almost incomprehensible where the Bible says he humbled himself and came down to this world. He humbled himself and robed himself in flesh. That right there is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16, that God was manifest in the flesh. And it was godly. It was a godly attribute that God possessed and expressed when he came down and robed himself in this old flesh. Praise God. Amen. It's just awesome when you begin to think about it. And so in the Old Testament, we were talking about Cain and Abel, and they were offering sacrifices. They were offering sacrifices. The very idea of offering a sacrifice lets us to know that the sin of mankind could not be taken care of by just going on, you know, I'm sorry, and that's all there is to it. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be the death of something. And the very fact that they were offering animals, they were offering fruits and all that, the fruits, that wouldn't cut it, because there was no life in there as far as the blood is concerned. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. And so what we understand then by looking at that from the very beginning, before there was ever any law, amen, men were sacrificing unto God. Noah sacrificed unto God, amen. And it wasn't because Noah was perfect, it was because Noah was imperfect. And because we are imperfect, amen, there is the demand of a sacrifice. Something has to give its life. And the reason that God did not demand that we offer humans for a sacrifice is because there wouldn't be any humans left if we did that. Amen. So he instituted animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. And it was the innocent that was dying for the guilty. Right. Amen. A spotless lamb at Passover, a bull or a heifer or a turtle dove or a pigeon. Many, many different sacrifices in that Old Testament. But it had to be the shedding of blood, amen, because something that was alive had to pay for the sin. But we know that all of those sins in the Old Testament were not forgiven, amen. They were just simply rolled forward every year throughout all of those centuries of time, until the perfect Lamb of God came, the innocent dying for the guilty. Praise God. I'm glad I don't have to pay for my sins.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to pay for my sins. Amen. I'm thankful that somebody paid the price for me. But we're living in a day when people are saying, you owe me this. You owe me that. You have to do this to or for me. And especially in our country, we have a mentality You know, it's not where the scripture says if you don't work, you don't eat, but it is a mentality that you owe me my life and all of that. But I'm telling you today that's not really the way to think about things. Amen. The way to think about things is to say, I have to take care of myself and make a commitment to God. Amen. He didn't come down just to make us saved so we could live our lives any way we wanted to live our life. Amen. Praise God. There's something to it. God gave us everything we need. Amen. But he didn't give us everything that we want. Amen. He gave us eyes so that we could see opportunity around us. And so we could see those that are hurting around us. He gave us feet and legs so that we could be mobile and we could do things. He gave us hands so that we could work. He gave us a mind so that we could think. Praise God. He gave us everything that we need. He gave us the raw material all around us to produce good things for ourselves. Amen. No generation has had what our generation has. I get in my car, I don't even have to unlock it. When I walk up to the car, it unlocks itself. It knows that I'm its owner. I put my foot on the brake and push a button and it starts by itself. If I've got it on cruise control, it's got radar on it, so that when you're driving down the road, it senses the stripes on either side of your car. And if you start to veer off a little bit, the steering wheel will turn by itself. I thought, I wonder how long I could go without actually driving this. And so I let go of the steering wheel, and it was on cruise control. It was staying right in the middle. It moved just a little bit here and there. But then all of a sudden, I don't know how long it was, maybe 60 seconds or more, all of a sudden something pops up on the screen and it says, and bells start going off and it says, steering required. But we've come to the place where steering is not even required. Amen. Where you can buy a car, get in it, program where you want to go, sit back and relax, fall asleep if you want to, and when it's all done, you're at your destination. Amen. We've got the internet today. We've got all these wireless, Bluetooth, and internet compatible. Bought some lights for my new garage. And believe it or not, they are internet compatible. Amen. I can program my lights. You can program your house. The thought came to me that if we get it all set up with our computers, we won't have to do anything. We'll just be a blob sitting on a couch somewhere. Amen. But I'm telling you what, God never intended for it to be that way. Because when it's that way, we don't understand sacrifice. I think that's why it's so hard today to reach people. And praise God, we're reaching people. Amen. I'm thankful that Cody was baptized. Sister Stacy and Brother Charlie are in Bible study. Mary is talking about baptism, from what I understand. I'm thankful for that. But we're living in a generation today, amen, a generation, a push-button generation, amen, a voice-activated generation. I can get in my car and say, take me to home, and it will pop up on the screen, and it'll tell me how to get home. I don't have to know where I'm at, amen. We were going down the road one day, and there was a guy with a pickup truck, with one of those campers that goes in the back of the pickup truck. Some of you young ones don't know what that is, but that used to be the RV of the day. And I thought, now this is interesting. I haven't seen one of these in a long time. So I kind of sped up a little bit and looked inside, and it was an older gentleman, older than me, by the way, and he had a map out. Does anybody know what a map is? A paper map. Amen. We used to have one that was about that big, and it covered every state, and you had to figure out where you were and what direction to go to get to where you want to go. But this man, this elderly gentleman, had a map out, had it folded in such a way that it would fit right on his steering wheel, and he was looking at the map and looking at the signs on the street and going wherever he was going to go. And I thought, now that's something to see right there. Yep. Praise God. Almost like somebody that's got a dial telephone in their house. Amen. Some folks say, I don't understand that. All I've got to say in my car is call so-and-so, and it'll call them, and I can talk to them hands-free. Amen. So that I can just, well, if I got my cruise on and I got my radar on, I can just sit back and have conversations all day long. But I'm telling you what, when it comes to salvation, we cannot go there. Amen. There is such a thing called commitment, and we see that commitment in God's divine love. He gave it all, folks. We're here tonight because He gave it all. And you know what? He really would love for us to give it all back to Him. Amen. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Somebody said a friend. He was a friend of publicans, tax collectors, and sinners, people that stole, people that cursed, people that lied and cheated, sinners, amen, of which every one of us, amen, we are without Him. And He was a friend. Does that mean that the publican, when he saw Jesus come and run up to Him, said, how's it going, Jesus? Maybe shook His hand, or, you know, in those areas they would give you a hug, and which is really what the Bible calls a holy kiss. It's an embrace. And He was a friend to these people. Luke 19 and verse 3, and He sought to see Jesus, who He was, and could not for the press, because He was of little stature. And then that's Zacchaeus, climbed up in a tree, and Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. He could have went to a Pharisee's house, could have went to a religious leader's house, and they could have discussed Scripture and got deep in the Scripture. And I enjoy doing that, discussing Scripture and getting different people's ideas about it. But when was the last time we sat down in a sinner's house? When was the last time that we said, I'm going to sit down and move over some beer cans to teach a Bible study? And that's what Jesus did. He didn't have a Bible study chart. Amen. He didn't have the things that we have. Didn't have a laptop computer where you could put the Bible study on there and just push a button and it'll teach the Bible study for you, which I think would be a good thing for those that are not really teachers. But, you know, there's more to life than just coming to church. Amen. And that's a big part of it right there. The church is a big part of it. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Faithful people. That's what the Lord's looking for, is faithful people. But when we look at the ministry of Jesus, He pushed the beer cans aside. He went into the house of those people that were sinners, people that had devils in them. One particular lady had seven devils. He cast out seven devils. And she followed Him, and there was a close relationship that developed. You know what? Jesus was not just a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. And he said, if you'll do my will, if you'll follow me, he said, I will sup with you and you will sup with me. Amen. You know, there's nothing like putting your feet under somebody else's table. Amen. That's what it means, sup. That's where we get supper. Amen. And, I'm not going to invite anybody over for supper. Tell you what, you're missing out on a real blessing. I think I missed a whole lot of us right there. Oh, well, I don't want a sinner to come to my house. Well, we got to be careful about it in our generation today. But I'm telling you what, we're not above reaching out to people that are lost. And it's not all just about our friends and our family, our church family. And that's a big part of it. Somebody said amen. Amen. But when they saw it, verse 7, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Can you believe that? The God of heaven sat down and had supper with a sinner. I can't imagine that. Because God is holy in the purest sense of the word, but he was willing and he humbled himself. I'm talking about the love of God here tonight. Amen. It supersedes our love. We can't comprehend it. And I don't think that we can really attain to it completely, but we can sure strive to do it. Amen. He said in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Sister Reed, would you like to come? We'll sing a chorus before we finish here tonight. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, ye that are whole have no need of the physician. You don't go to the doctor just to say, hey, doc, how's it going? I wanted to pay the $150, $200, whatever, to come see you for 5 minutes because I just wanted to see how you're doing. We don't do that. We go to the doctor when we're sick, right? And we're sick enough that if we have to get a shot, that'll work too. But Jesus, when he heard a murmuring like this, he said, they that are whole, they don't need a physician. If you're feeling good, you don't have to go to the doctor. What did he come for? But they that are sick, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous. And you know who I'm looking at? I'm looking at some righteous people here tonight. Good people. People that love God. People that are faithful. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm teaching about here tonight. Faithful people. Faithful over the years. Amen. I didn't realize it. Somebody sent me a text a couple days ago, someone in our church, and said it's been 14 years since they came into the church. 14 years. Faithful every single service, 14 years. I was over at Hutchison and preached there a couple of Sunday nights ago, I think, and there's a whole lot of old folks in their church. But they're not. It's not because they have an old folks ministry. It's because they used to be young folks. And for 50 years or 40 years or however long, it's been that long for some of them, still on the platform playing a guitar. Still up there running the sound system. Amen. Still there. Whenever there needs to be something done, they're there. They're faithful. And what Brother Carricker is experiencing right now, there's a revival in that church. And I don't know how many they'll seat, but it was almost full Sunday night. And there was someone that got baptized and all of that. And I don't think Brother Carricker would mind me saying this. But I said to someone, I forget who it was that goes there, maybe it was to Brother Carricker himself, and I think it was to one of the saints, I said, you know what, you got a lot of old folks in your church. He said, yeah, I know. So you know what? The day's going to come when the young ones have to become the old ones. Amen. It's not going to be the old ones that are going to be doing the praying anymore. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the love of God. He went way overboard. Amen. He was faithful. It was the plan of God that he would go through all of this so that I could be saved and be in the church. He's looking for people that'll be faithful Sunday morning. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Somebody that'll be faithful Sunday night.
Amen.
Somebody that'll be faithful on Wednesday night service.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll tell you what we're doing here tonight, what we do Sunday morning and Sunday night, that's the minimum. That's not living for God. That's the minimum of your commitment to God. Well, praise the Lord. It goes further than that. It goes to Monday and Tuesday, all day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to do the work of God. We're going to do the will of God. We're going to seek the face of God. Amen. And the day is going to come, amen, in this church. Some of you are getting older, I've noticed. Now, I'm going to have everybody depressed. But there's some of you, I see a few white hairs popping up. Now I've really lost you. Few white hairs in your eyebrows. Your ears are getting bigger. Talking more about medicine and surgeries than anything else. But I tell you what, these young men on the front row, it's God's will for you to see the love of God and for you to say, I love you, God, because of what you did for me. And I'm going to be faithful when mom and dad pass away. I'm going to be faithful in the church. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to do the will of God. And it will go from generation to generation. But if we ever get a generation that says the church is there to feed me and give me everything I need and all I've got to do is show up, I'll tell you what, it's going to become an extinct thing. And it'll be an old abandoned church someday, and nobody will come. Let's stand together.